You're watching Single Process with Joe and Bob. We've created this series of videos to help you navigate the difficult process of divorce. We hope it helps you on your journey. So our episode today is on hiring a private investigator during or after you've been divorced.
I'm ready to bust. I'm so excited about this one.
I
think I watch way too much television.
Well, look, even in South Africa, we got Magnum P.I. and it was my favorite show.
He wears his jeans like up to here.
But he was hot back in 1964, he was hot.
Anyways, I'm so excited to talk to Rob because Rob has been, he's the founder and the CEO of Artist Group, which is Connecticut's largest private investigations agency. He has worked with over 150 law firms in the 20 years that he's been a private investigator. So Rob, thank you for being
with us. Thanks for joining us, Rob.
Thank you very much. I think it's a great project you're doing. Very interesting.
Good.
And by the way, you do watch too many TV shows.
Shoot. This one, you thought you were going to get it.
I know that's what I want to know. Like, what do you typically even get hired to do?
In the divorce sector?
Yes.
Oh, terrific. Well, mostly we're hired by attorneys.
What?
By attorneys.
Not by, I think my husband's having an affair, go follow him.
Well, I think what's important is to realize what stage we're in. Once we're in the divorce process in Connecticut, it's a no-fault state. So it really doesn't matter who's had an affair or who's done what. What matters in the divorce process is that the attorney leads the charge. It leads your charge. It leads the case. So you really want to work through your attorney to hire the private investigator.
Is that because they might hire somebody who's more qualified? Are there other reasons to go through your attorney?
The attorneys really usually have someone like me. Many of the attorneys that you've had on these shows use us. We have great relations with them. We're known quantities. They're known quantities. And you want them leading the charge. You really don't want to hire a private investigator without an attorney in the divorce stage. There's something called attorney work product, which gives certain privileges. So the information that we provide, the reports we provide, it's covered by that privilege, which makes it less discoverable. And that's what you want. You don't want what you do with your private investigator to be easily discoverable. And that's why you have
to. And by that mean your ex or your spouse who you are divorcing, their attorney can ask for that information.
Absolutely correct.
I get it.
And the other thing is, you want to make sure that the firm or the guy or the girl that you're hiring is legit. You want to make sure that they are properly licensed, properly insured.
How would you find that out? Well, if you're doing it through an attorney, they would know that.
They would know that. And the issue is, of course, is that there are many things that are completely illegal that some firms, some guys do.
Give me an example.
Yeah.
Tell me the good stuff.
Trespassing on somebody's property to get that video. You can't go on somebody's property. There is no case that's worth it to me, my license, my company, my family, my reputation, to do anything that's even going anywhere near the gray.
And what's the point if you can't get it into evidence in court anyway?
Good point, right.
That is the
biggest point. Okay.
The worst thing you can do is hire a private investigator who gains information for you that you can't get into court. First of all, you've just wasted your time. Second of all, it's going to piss the judge off. Can I say that word?
Yes. You can say anything.
And the last thing you want to do is to have the judge pissed at your attorney because of something that you've tried to get into evidence that was illegally obtained.
Okay.
That might be bank account information. That might be other information hacked through. We hear this all the time. I went into my husband's email account and I've gathered all this information. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? There's a law against that. You can't do it.
What?
Absolutely.
But what if you're still sharing the computer and you're still in the same house?
Okay, but did he give you permission to go in and access?
That's a gray line, Rob.
Well, not really. Well,
okay, so it's not a gray line. Yeah.
How do I know I'm not being hacked? How do I know? Would you be hiring a private investigator
Absolutely.
To scrub your computer?
We have, it's a big part of our business, is when the husband or the wife has moved out, doing debugging. To make sure that there are no bugs.
Does it ever even occur?
No, never. I mean, now it does.
Oh, my God.
No bugs, no cameras, to make sure the computers aren't compromised.
Yeah.
The worst case we ever had was a woman, a local woman, very wealthy, who was just convinced that she was being... Her husband knew too much about her life. We took all of her computers. We did computer forensic analysis on the computers. And we found that on her laptop, which is where she does all her private communication, he had installed a screenshot logging software that every 30 seconds for the last 2 years, 30 seconds, every 30 seconds for 2 years, what? It had sent a screenshot to an email address
Holy
that he had access
smokes.
To. That means every email, every communication, every Skype, every website, everything she did,
oh,
he knew.
Oh, my God. Now, who pays for that?
Well, ultimately, the client always pays.
Yeah, but if she can prove that her husband's doing this, can she make him foot the bill?
Well, in that case, she actually went to criminal. It went to criminal.
Okay. Well, and so it should. Just
yeah,
say
so it totally should.
It was such an affront of privacy, of someone's invasion of privacy. So
I would think most of what you do is infidelity stuff, isn't it? Because
it really isn't. And I can tell you that once you hit the divorce stage in Connecticut, yeah. not necessarily in other states, but in Connecticut, it doesn't matter who did what. So what the most important part of the divorce work that we do is custody. In determining, for example, the suitability of a spouse's new partner.
Okay, so explain this.
So your ex-husband has a girlfriend, and she's a little shady. Looks like a stripper.
Aren't they all?
If they're smart, they do.
And the issue is always the children. Who are the children going to be around? You know, the children are 3 and 5. They're going to visit daddy on the weekends and every Tuesday and Wednesday. This woman is in his life. Who is this woman? There are rumors about her that she's got a coke addict and that she was a former escort. We found all these things. Or that mommy's new boyfriend is connected, or that he's got a history of violence. And so the background checks that we do on individuals mm-hmm. are to give that peace of mind to say, hey, you know what? It's not a problem. We're comfortable with who the children are.
You haven't just given peace of mind. You've raised all these flags. So then what can you do about it?
Well, no, you wouldn't hire somebody if you weren't already worried, right?
The goal is for the attorney to be able to protect and control the visitation.
Okay.
So in other words, if this man, the new boyfriend, is known to have a history of violence, he can't be present when the children are there.
Yeah.
If the girlfriend
has a history of alcohol. Well, even if the mother does, I mean, how do you track that? How do you track
what
someone
parents
who drinks
are doing?
And drives?
Well, again, there are two things. There's a proactive investigation. There's a retroactive investigation. Retroactively, you can show that she's got 3 DUIs. That's all you can show.
Okay.
That may be sufficient enough for the attorney to say, we don't want her driving the children.
Okay.
Proactively, which means from this point forward, the only way you could really do it, and we've done this before, believe me, we've done almost everything before, but is to literally follow someone and see where they go. Are they drinking in bars? We've just had a case where the woman is not allowed to have any alcohol within a certain period of having the children. And sure enough, we have film of her inside a bar drinking excessively.
But I go in bars and drink. It just doesn't mean I'm loaded when I come out.
That's okay. You just can't do it near the children. And that's the whole point.
Okay.
It's all about the interests of the kids.
Okay.
So do people during the process of divorce, not pertaining to someone new coming into their lives, but if they're in a custody battle or in dispute over, you know, parenting, would people hire you to surveil them? Or
absolutely. And it can also be after the fact. In a custody case, one case that we had, you know, it's funny, but it isn't. It's very sad. A very wealthy family. The wife had moved to Massachusetts, and she had 2 young children. One was special needs. I think they were 5 and 8 at the time. And the father had found out that during the nights, the mother would go out at 7 o'clock. She put
without
the kids
a babysitter.
To bed, without a babysitter.
Oh wow!
Would leave the kids until midnight. This was happening 3 or 4 nights a week. So we conducted surveillance over a long period of time and found that she was getting off the Massachusetts Turnpike and going into these service stations.
Well, you know what's
and
going on there.
Service station.
You know what's going on, right?
There's
only two
things. I don't know what's going on.
Sex or drugs, come on.
There's only two things that a male or female are doing in a service parking lot at 11 o'clock at night.
You're gassing up your car.
Let me tell you what she was actually doing. She had developed a $5,000 a week lottery scratch-off ticket addiction. And she was scratching off tickets. She would go in by, literally, we have film of this thick of $10, $25 tickets sitting in her car. Now, how sad is that?
That's sad. But divorce is expensive.
But even sad is that the kids of 5 and 8 with special needs are left alone at home.
So in this case, again, your work was protecting the children.
The goal was protect the children because now she had to. She couldn't leave the children. Yeah. If she did leave the children, there had to be a babysitter in position. But it also, to the more important point, it forced her and the situation to get help. She had a situation that was out of control. You know, having an affair would almost be better because then it could be sort of, okay, well, she's over that. But to have an addiction of that extent...
Yeah. That's really sad.
So that was a kind of interesting case.
So post-divorce, let's say I start dating somebody who's going to be involved with my kids. Do you do any work on that?
Absolutely. Happens all the time. We have many people that come to us for background checks on their new partner. We want to get married. I just want to make sure that who they say they are. Happens all the time.
Yeah, I think that's
terrific. I want to backtrack on one more thing, Bob. I just want to talk about locating assets. Would someone ever come to you and say, I don't know if my husband's hiding assets. Is there anything you can do to help? You know, some women just lose track of where everything is and want to cover bases.
All the time. Especially, most of our work's in Greenwich. It happens all the time. As far as bank accounts, you'll go online and you'll see that you can search, anybody will search a bank account. It's illegal. There's no way to do it legally. Think about it. The only two ways that you can access somebody's bank account information is to pretend to be them, which is pretext. Oh, that's illegal.
Okay.
Or to hack their information or to hack the bank account information. So there's no way.
Or you could date the teller at the bank.
That takes a little bit more work. But so really, you can't look at bank accounts. But most people don't keep money in their bank accounts. A bank account is just a holding account before it goes off to the IRA, the SEP, the Roth.
The Caymans.
The Caymans or what have you.
Or buying a piece of property, a physical property too. Right.
So when we look at asset search, especially on the high end, we're looking at, okay, what businesses does he have? What shell companies do those companies have? And some people are absolute masters, of course, of creating shell company after shell company in Delaware, particularly, to protect these companies that then own all the property. And never underestimate how much a plane or a boat or a $2.5 million 1967 Ferrari can be worth in terms of assets. And they all lead, it's like everything else. It's like the old
dominoes
thing. Once we start to find things, it starts to lead to more and more things. It's very difficult to find out if you're a sort of a middle class, middle income person, if your husband's got an extra $100,000 in a bank account.
Thank you so much for being here. It wasn't quite as salacious as I thought it was going to be, but
we didn't really get into it yet.
We're going to get him back. We're going to get him back.
There's
just
a lot
for you.
More segments.
I got a lot more.
Thank you. For more information on private investigations, log on to singleprocess.me.